far more often, it's people who really want to do good. And it's not to say that there isn't the opportunity to do good within the world of litigation. I think there is. I think that more often than not, there are better opportunities to do more good with different methods.
The Center for Understanding and Conflict welcomes you to The Other Chair, a monthly podcast exploring the dynamics of conflict and how to bring the human issues to the table. Together with our guests, we explore how the power of understanding each other can lead to better solutions for people on both sides of an issue. We will also share tips for managing your own mediation practice, approaching conflict in the professional world, and ways to apply our understanding-based model in your personal life. Hello to our listeners, and welcome to The Other Chair. My name is James Dyke. Today's guest is Ivan Alter, a collaborative attorney and mediator with offices in Westchester County and New York City. Practicing law since 1994, Ivan previously had a career as a commercial and matrimonial litigator before discovering the understanding-based model, an experience which changed the trajectory of his career. Hello, Ivan, and welcome to The Other Chair.
Hi, James. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. So I understand you do a lot of work with mediation now, but I think it would be helpful for our listeners to take us back to the beginning of your career, when you first became a lawyer and the sort of experience that you had back in those days.
So I always wanted to be a lawyer. I know a lot of people choose this profession by default, but for me, it was something that I always really wanted to do. And, you know, it was a combination of the excitement of what I imagined courtroom action would be, and the thought that I'd really be making a difference and helping people. And that was always very exciting to me. So when I came out of law school, I became a litigator, as I had always dreamed, and found that the reality was quite different from what I had imagined. The way people interact in a litigation dynamic is less of the exciting debate of ideas that I had imagined, and a lot more of a slugfest. And I found also that whereas when debating ideas, there's a sense of right versus wrong, that things weren't always that clear in real life, and particularly in the lives of families and small businesses. You know, the idea that when two people are getting divorced, that one of them is right and the other one is wrong felt kind of insane to me. And as I saw it play out in real people's lives, I realized that it was a paradigm that didn't really make a lot of sense in that context. Over time, I came to realize that a lot of the people who came to me looking for help, despite my best efforts, often, they came to me in a tough situation. And I think all too frequently they left in a situation that was probably worse, because in addition to everything that was going on in their lives, now they were, engaging in a battle for their lives, or so it felt, and using lots of their resources and time and energy on a fight that I felt really didn't need to happen and wasn't really benefiting anybody. Eventually, I became so disillusioned with it all that I left. It coincided to a degree with my wife having our own children and having a different perspective on the importance of family and the impact of conflict on families and children. But it became clear to me that this was not what I had signed up for, and it was not what I intended to do with the rest of my life.
Wow, that's quite a change, especially to leave the profession that you worked, you must have worked very hard to get into. Some questions around the interactions they had. Do you think that those were unique or isolated experience where people were ending up so unhappy? I would assume that when people in conflict seek out an attorney, they're looking for a fight and they want to be the winner of that.
Yes, I think that's true. I think a lot of people do come looking for that, and almost to a person, they become disabused of that notion as they see what that fight really entails. There isn't the opportunity to be vindicated in court in that way, to be declared as the party who was right, is enticing, but it's not the reality. The reality is it's a drawn out and expensive and highly contentious and very draining process that ultimately feels more like a war of attrition. And eventually people just lose their taste for the fight. And that's when it ends. And I don't think, no, to answer your question, that the experience that I was having with clients was in any way unique. I think it was truly across the board. You know, there were some cases that I was involved in where there were ideas in play and that was more rewarding. But the closer it came to people's lives, which for me was the good part, right? I wanted to be involved in people's lives. I wanted to help people through difficult times. And the closer the conflict came to people's lives, I found the less helpful the battle dynamic paradigm was for them.
Do you think your experience is a common one among other attorneys who enter the practice? Or do you think it's possible that it maybe affected you more than it might others who are going into the profession?
I think both. I think, you know, temperamentally, I may have, you know, it may have affected me more this proximity to conflict in that way, you know, may have been especially uncomfortable for me, which is interesting. And I think true of a lot of people who get into conflict resolution work. It's because conflict feels uncomfortable and they want to find a new way to address it and deal with it. I also think that my experience was very common among attorneys, particularly young attorneys. There's no shortage of disillusioned lawyers who feel that what they plan to do with their lives was not what they ultimately were able to. It didn't look a lot like their actual experience.
So let's talk about that a little bit more. So you became a lawyer because you wanted to help people, it sounds like, and at any point during your experience going through law school, did anyone in your classes or any instructors mention that there was going to be this hard truth that you were going to encounter about how the system operates versus kind of how you've been trained in theory to approach it? Or how were you prepared for that reality when it hit you?
You know, it's a great question. I think that I don't think that there's a lot of emphasis in law school put on showing students the real, you know, how the sausage is made, so to speak. But I also think that it wouldn't have hit the same way anyway, because when you're preparing for something and dealing with it theoretically, there's a lot of excitement and anticipation and the belief that you can bring your skills and do it better. And you have not yet lost that idealistic glow that so many young law students have. You mentioned that I got into law to help people. I think that's true of almost everybody who gets into law. Yeah, I'm sure there are, you know, the exceptions, but I think that far more often it's people who really want to do good. And it's not to say that there isn't the opportunity to do good within the world of litigation. I think there is. I think that more often than not, there are better opportunities to do more good with different methods.
Conflict manifests itself in many ways in our personal lives, for professionals in the workplace and for practitioners who have made a career bringing together parties in conflict through mediation practice. Each month, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts live webinars with featured guests discussing best practices and sharing their experiences for tackling conflict using the understanding-based model.
Before we get into what some of those different methods might be, was there a particular case, to the degree that you could speak about it, that really it was the last straw? It caused the scales to fall completely from your eyes and really led you to that point where, you know, enough is enough. This isn't for you.
There was. I was involved. It was a divorce case, and it was very sad. And I represented the father, the husband, and the wife made some really awful allegations about the husband and potentially abusing their children. He insisted that that was not true, and that she also felt he was confident that she knew she was lying, but that she was simply doing what her lawyer told her to do. And although I will never be inside the conversations between the lawyer and client, getting to know the lawyer a little bit in that context, that rang true to me. I felt that this was tactical on the part of the other attorney. And it was just crushing to me that is seen as a way to gain advantage, because ultimately, in a winner-take-all dynamic, the ends justify the means. If somebody believes they deserve to win, and the only way they're going to get there is to do something that might feel inconsistent with their own personal morals and values, but their lawyer is telling them, this is how you win, people will do it.
So let's look a little bit more at where you are today. So I understand that you're a big advocate for the understanding-based approach to mediation or conflict resolution, which keeps people out of the courtroom if possible and looks to find a mutually beneficial outcome if possible. What led you to that model? How did you find out about it? And what sort of difference did it make? And did it bring you back into the legal community from the point where you had given up?
It did. And I, to a large degree, I stumbled into it. I had left law entirely. I had pursued a master's degree in landscape design, and I had begun doing some work as a landscape designer, which was really interesting and rewarding, but it was not my calling. I don't think it really played to my skills as well as some other things might have. And then there were also pieces of being a contractor that I didn't love. But so still looking, still searching, I decided to take a mediation training. And it happened to be the one that the Center for Understanding and Conflict was offering. It was referred to me by, I went to a high school reunion and ran into a guy I hadn't spoken to in 25 years, and was talking to him about this, and because he was a mediator, although in a different world of mediation. And I asked him, did it matter which training I took? And he said, well, let me see the ones you're considering. And I told him about this one, and he said, oh, he said, Jack Himmelstein, he's one of the guys who created all of it. If you can train with that organization, I would do that. So I did. And I did this 5-day training with Jack Himmelstein and Catherine Miller. And I didn't really expect anything. I just thought I was, you know, sort of trying to find things and maybe something would inspire me. And it was transformative. It was incredibly powerful to learn about the method, the model. And I was very skeptical at first. I did not believe that it would work. I didn't believe that people would behave the way that they would need to behave in order for it to work. I was very jaded from my experience as a litigator. But what I came to learn over the time of that training was that people weren't required to give up their anger, their fear, their you know, their conflict. They weren't required to pretend that everything was okay. To the contrary, they were encouraged to, you know, they were encouraged to embrace their, you know, what it was that was going on for them, to really understand it. And that the closer you look at it, the more you learn about it, and the more open you become to finding ways of solving it.
So then how did that experience translate into you ending up back in the legal community? What was the process like?
You know, it happened pretty quickly. I started networking with many of the people I had trained with and with the trainers to learn more about how does one make a career out of this. And I jumped on opportunities when they arose. And, you know, it certainly helped that I had a long background in law, and particularly in family law, so that there wasn't that stumbling block of that subject matter knowledge. I already had that. But I was able to, you know, it's slow at first, for sure. I did some volunteer mediations and some co-mediations with people, but it wasn't long before I was seeing paying clients. And I came to believe that this was something that I could actually make a career of, which was amazing.
What if there are attorneys who are struggling with the same issues that you were, especially early in your career, but who don't necessarily want to stop being an attorney? Is there value in this training and in the principles of this model that can help them?
I would certainly think so, because you know, the nature of what the model teaches is a different way to have conversations with people and to understand more clearly what matters to them. And armed with that understanding, whatever you're doing, I think if you know what you're looking for, you're a lot more likely to find it, right? So being able to really identify what matters to people and to really understand where they're coming from is hugely important to a professional, a representative professional. But also, having that experience of really understanding someone and having someone feel truly understood by you creates a level of trust and openness that I think would not otherwise necessarily find its way into a lawyer-client relationship.
Throughout the year, the Center for Understanding and Conflict hosts in-depth, basic, and advanced certificate programs designed to train you to become effective mediators and conflict resolution professionals centered in the understanding-based model. Our training programs have been the gold standard in alternative dispute resolution for 40 years and is popular within the legal community, with human resource professionals, ombudsmen, and corporate workplace mediation clients.
So what's the process like if you're looking at this, you know, with the eyes of an attorney, and typically your first reaction is going to be, well, let's take this to trial, or let's take this to the process for getting a settlement, using whatever methods we need to be the victor, to changing that perspective to one, if we're not going into the courtroom, then where are we going? Where are we taking people? And what is the path to that outcome look like in practice?
So I think that conflict is inevitable, right? There's a quote that I don't know where to attribute it, but it's, conflict is inevitable, combat is optional. And the recognition that we in our lives will disagree with people and will see things differently is an absolute truth. But the notion that we then have to go to war with them because of that, is, I don't know when that became the norm or the default way of working out conflict. But what I've come to realize is that most people, given the right tools and opportunity, can resolve their conflicts without having to destroy each other. And for those people, this model or model, you know, models like this are incredibly useful. Sometimes it does, you know, people need to fight or for various reasons, or per certain personality types are not necessarily given to compromise and even wanting to understand the perspective of another. You know, people are people and people are different. And for those people, I am very grateful that we have the court system we have. I don't think that we could ever do away with a court system where people could seek a resolution from a third party where they absolutely must have it. But I think most people don't need it. And most people are much better off. Who better to decide their own fate than, you know, to decide what happens to somebody than themselves? Why do we want to, as a rule, hand that authority over to some third party that doesn't know us and doesn't isn't invested in our situation in that way?
What's the difference between handing your situation over to a third party who's a mediator rather than turning it over to a third party, which is the justice system?
Yeah, that's a great question. The difference is that the justice system provides a decision maker. They decide. A mediator does not make the decision. A mediator only helps people to have the conversation, helps them to understand what's important, to understand what the options are, and to talk about them in a way that is more likely to lead to constructive, creative solutions that work for everyone. But a mediator will never tell a party how it's going to go. They don't have that authority by design. It's one of the core principles of the understanding-based model is that we understand that the parties themselves own the conflict and they're responsible for its resolution.
This podcast is supported by our CUC Connect members, whose yearly membership includes free attendance to our live monthly webinars, 12 additional featured recordings of past training events, discounts to our basic and advanced training programs, and support from our network of certified trainers for continued professional development. Consider joining CUC Connect today and dive deeper into the understanding-based model.
So earlier in the episode, Ivan, I asked you to describe the situation that basically made it, it was your end point. You decided this enough was enough. You didn't want to be involved, you know, as a lawyer in the way that you were. So I'm going to ask you that question again, but this time around mediation. Was there an experience when you started to approach conflict using these tools where you realized there's something to this?
I think the first time that I was mediating alone and I was working with a couple that was having a very difficult discussion, and there was a great deal of tension between them. And I was doing the model, right? Which is not complicated, but it's simple, but it's hard to master, right? I was doing the model and I truly understood what the wife in this case was trying to say, that her husband had never heard and had never understood. And the way she reacted in hearing that somebody got her, somebody understood what mattered to her, she had like this almost physical release, like, yes. And when her husband saw how powerful it was that she had been heard, he realized that that was an important piece of information. And he said something along the lines of, you know, I didn't really realize that that was so important to you. And the two of them left the session without that same level of tension and conflict between them. I mean, look, they were getting divorced. It's not like they skipped off into the sunset together, but They left my office relieved. And that relief was something that was very hard to come by in the world of litigation.
So one final question for you, Ivan. What advice do you have for two groups of people? One, that early career attorney who's maybe just coming out of school and entering the field and coming to the same realizations or similar realizations that you did, that there's a huge dissonance between their desire to make a difference and the reality of the system. And then what would you say to maybe a mid-career, somebody who's been in the field a lot longer, who's reached a point where they've now come to that realization and maybe considering making a change?
I would say that the tools and skills that are taught with the understanding-based model are valuable to anyone in any role. I have found them valuable to me, not just professionally, but personally, in my relationships with family and friends, in my dealings outside of my own work. It's a valuable and important skill to have. So I would say that it would be a wise investment for anybody at any stage to learn these skills and to pick up this knowledge. With respect to people who are considering a career in mediation, I would say, I tell clients that the most important question that they need to ask when they're considering a divorce, and I think this is true of any conflict, is to understand the different options that are available as to how they might resolve it. Because too often people just jump into litigation because that's what people do. That's the default. And before they know it, the process has taken over and it has determined what that experience is going to be like, and to a degree, what the outcome is going to be like. I would say the same to somebody coming out of law school, which is you have a choice as to how you intend to work. And before you can make that choice, you need to understand what each of those choices looks like and the pros and cons so that you can make an informed choice. And I wish I knew then what I know now, I could have saved myself a lot of grief along the way.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Ivan. I really appreciate your time and your insight and for sharing your history and what's brought you to the point that you're at today. So thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure, James. Thank you.
Ivan Alter has dedicated his professional practice to advancing and teaching mediation and collaborative law. You can learn more about his practice and the work he is doing to help resolve conflict by visiting www.ivanalter.com. Thank you to today's guest for being with us today and to our CUC Connect members, whose support enables the Center for Understanding and Conflict to bring new perspectives in the field of conflict resolution and mediation to you, our listener, in each new episode. You can find out more about today's episode, along with full interviews and additional information about conflict resolution and mediation using the understanding-based model at www.understandinginconflict.org.